1:12. Vishakarma.
Vishakarma.
Dharma lakshanam.
Dharma lakshanam.
Karma.
Karma.
Asyeti.
Asyeti.
Vishakarma.
Vishakarma.
Okay, so Vrisha also means it means dharma. So karma is the nominative of karma. Karma, the word karma is usually a neuter noun. So karma, it's an unending neuter noun. But karma is the nominative singular in the masculine. And that's because this compound is called the bahuvrihi, which means a bahuvrihi is a compound which acts like a name. Mm-hmm. Like the one whose arms are strong. That's a bahuvrihi. It's an appellation. Okay. So here it would be the one whose karma is dharma, right? So that's why you have this masculine ending for a neuter noun, because it's something which is labeling or naming, giving a name to you. It's a compound which is naming you. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. And here it's naming Vishnu, so it's masculine. Mm-hmm. So say, Vrishakarma.
Vrishakarma.
Then, dharma lakshanam karma.
Dharma lakshanam karma.
Asya.
Asya.
So, karma is a neuter noun, so karma. Now, if I take it out of the compound, it's going to be declined in the neuter. So, for karma is karman. So, karman in the neuter is karma. Neuter nominative singular. And here you see before that a compound that ends in lakshana, dharma lakshanam, which is also neuter because it's adjectival to karma. So, dharma. Karma, which is dharma lakshanam, character. Sometimes when lakshanam is at the end of a compound, you say it's characterized by or defined as. So dark karma, the one karma, which is characterized by dharma. So the one who's very karma. What is the karma of Ishwara? Dharma is the karma. Oh. So dharma, the embodiment of Ishwara, really is dharma. So asya. For him, karma is characterized by dharma. And so Swamiji gives, is this the one? No, it's another one that's coming. So the one whose karma is characterized by vrisha. So iti vrisha, thus vrisha karma. And you can read Swamiji's commentary on it. It's so beautiful.
So when you see dharma,
here he says, as if to set the example, his avatars, all his karmas, comma, all his karma, is dharma lakshanam, based on dharma. Based on means that's what defines it.
So when you see dharma, you're actually seeing Ishwara. Is that?
We would say that there is no adharma in Ishwara. A dharma is jiva srishti. So the jiva can do dharma adharma.
Yeah.
Right? But what is the adharma? Because free will. So that's still all contained within Ishwara, but where is the action originating from in Ishwara? It's originating from the jiva, which is based in ajnana. See, what makes a jiva? What makes an individual a jiva? Because the individual is actually only Ishwara. There is no jiva. But all of this is Ishwara equally. But the jiva is from the standpoint of this body, mind, sense organs because of ajnanam, which creates the ahankara. The ahankara is what identifies your being, the self, which is the self of Ishwara, right? With your being, which is Brahman. Because of ajnanam, the mind identifies that self with the body-mind sense organs. Mm. That's that identification which is based in Ajnanam, is the jiva. Right? Because even though, say if I say, I am this body, mind, sense organs different from you, then all of my behavior, everything that I do, is based upon that nitya jnanam, a very firm knowledge, which is false. It's a very firm, false conclusion. And everything that we do is based upon that firm, false conclusion. It's to really understand...
It's hopeless.
It's not because there's knowledge.
Yeah.
But it's...
Go home then.
Say, for instance, the rope snake analogy. If you are experiencing the snake, all of your responses are to the snake. Because the rope is not being experienced. The snake is being experienced. But when you experience the rope, then you have a whole different relationship with the world. The world is now not centered on the snake, it's centered on the rope, right? So for the jiva, what that means is that all of your experience is centered on that ajnanam, that ignorance, which causes this, what we call anyonya adhyasa, this mutual superimposition, which allows which is the basis for the ahankar, the I notion. By I notion we mean that there's a mutual superimposition of the Atma, the self, onto the mind. So the mind thinks, I am the conscious being, and the conscious being it takes to be the mind. Right? That's the mutual superimposition. So the conscious being, Brahman, takes on the characteristics of the mind, and the mind takes on the nature of the self. That's anyonya, mutual adhyasa, mutual superimposition. That's the ahankara. That is the jiva. Because in reality, Brahman has never become the mind. It's the self of the mind. It's the self of the universe. It's the self of all that is. Right? And the mind has never affected Brahman or the self in any way. So really, this body, mind, sense organs is part and parcel of Ishvara. But because the body, mind, sense organ suffers from ajnanam, it has a different a reality based upon that ajnanam that we call jiva srishti, the jiva's creation, which is a projection upon the world, which allows me to project my ananda onto the world and then go after it. I want this so I can be happy. I have to get away from that so that I can be happy. That's all projection. It's all superimposition based upon ignorance. But because that projection is there, there is nothing more important to me than my own being. And my own being has been projected onto an object out there. And so then,
you're stuck.
Then I find myself in a position to do a dharma. Because that, the attainment of that object is more important to me than dharma. Dharma gets pushed to the side. And so if it's the rakshasa buddhi that we were looking at in the Bhagavad Gita on Thursday, if it's a rakshasa buddhi in terms of dharma, it'll push it to the side rationalizing. Mm-hmm. It'll make rationalizations. If it's a tamasa buddhi in terms of of dharma, what it'll do is because totally overpowered with by ajnanam, it'll just totally translate dharma into a dharma. So for instance, Somji uses the example of saying, you know, I need to have that thing. And say I'm your teacher. There's certain things in life that you need. And you do whatever it takes to get them. Don't worry about lying. Of course you lie. Of course you will lie. What do you think? If you don't lie, you won't get it. If you need to lie to get it, then lie. Don't be silly. Don't be naive. That's tamasa.
Or there's certain things that you need to get rid of at all costs.
Yeah.
Unload.
They need to be unloaded. So it's all the mafia buddhi. That's tamasa. But all of this is caused by ajnanam. Okay? The jiva itself is caused by ajnanam. So for Ishvara, there is no adharma. There's no need for a dharma. There's no ignorance to cause me to seek something because I already am everything. And I already am the very ananda. There's nothing to be gained. There's no ajnanam there. So Ishwara itself is just an expression of dharma. The whole, what Swamiji would say for that dharma in this way, the infinite order. Ishwara is the infinite order. And so that infinite order even includes the results of the jiva's dharma and adharma in punya and papa. That's part of the infinite order. But the source of that punya papa is not coming from Ishwara, it's coming from the jiva srishti.
Yeah.
From the, its source is from the jiva. See what I mean? Even though the jiva is part of Ishwara, it is bound by the ajnanam.
So there's no way that Ishwara can exclude that adharma or
Well, he doesn't exclude it because Ishwara is also called Janardana. Janardana is the one who punishes the people. Why does he punish the people? He punishes the adharma. And it's not that, it's not like hell and brimstone, you know, fire and brimstone. It's not like that. It's like if I stick my hand in fire, it's going to burn. And so Ishwara and the Vedas and scripture and your parents and also intuitively give you what you need. Make you understand dharma, adharma. And you also, the creation makes you understand it also by burning your hand. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's not like there's somebody, you know, with a whip. It's that the creation is as it is. Mm-hmm. And so you need to learn about it. So he says, Risha Karma, the one whose karma is all based on dharma, is all characterized by dharma.
So, you started with the grammatical explanation.
Yeah.
Were you pointing out basically the difference between the word karma with a long A and the short A?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was saying that the word karman, that's the substantive, is actually a neuter noun. But when that word comes at the end of a compound that is an appellation, means it's a naming of you, it will go into the masculine or feminine or neuter. If it's naming a neuter object, it will take on the gender of what of the one that's being named. You know. So yeah, I'm just giving you a little Sanskrit so that you have some understanding. And so that dharma lakshanam, lakshanam is a neuter ending, karma is neuter because karma is a neuter noun, and asya is a genitive. So for him, karma is karma. All of his karma is based on dharma. Now, as we'll see in the next one, as an avatar, the avatar of Vishnu, Vishnu is the one who takes the avatars at any given specific times in any given yuga, where the dharma is totally overwhelmed by the dharma. So to understand that, the dharma and adharma are carried by the jivas, by the individuals. So the dharmis are the ones who are holding dharma. When the dharmis are unable to survive adharma, so who's holding the adharma are the adharmis. Those tamasa. What's that tamasic buddhi?
Mafia.
You know, the mafia. when the mafiosos, mafiosos are so strong.
The CIA.
Yeah, all of them. When they're still so strong that there's no way that the dharmis can prevail. Mm-hmm. At that time, Bhagavan has to take a birth as an avatar. That's the tradition. Mm-hmm. But it's only when the balance between dharma and adharma becomes such that in order for dharma to survive, or the dharmis to survive, something extraordinary has to take place because the balance is too much out of whack. Mm-hmm. I think like it is now, but Bhagavan might think, we saw the chance.
Yeah. It so seems that time is getting close again.
Absolutely.
So are we expecting an avatar?
I'm not expecting, but I would not be surprised.
There was a fellow.
Then I would think
he was the last
avatar. What would you do?
The Koki avatar.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go on.
Okay.
Vrsha kritihi.
Vrsha kritihi.
Dharmartham.
Dharmartham.
Akritihi. Shariram,
shariram,
yasya,
yasya,
saha,
saha,
vrsha kritihi,
vrsha kritihi.
So here, vrsha, the vrsha is dharma, And akriti means a form, form or sharira. Mm-hmm. So the one who's akriti is vrisha, is dharma. So here it's the one whose form is dharma. Before it, the one whose karma is dharma. It's based on dharma. Here, the one whose form is vrisha. There's two ways to take this. See, he gives us both ways. So here, look at the akriti's form. Mm-hmm. Vrisha is dharma. So the one whose form is dharma. Or we're going to see the one whose form is for the sake of dharma. Mm-hmm. Going to take it either way, depending on how the compound is broken. So the first one, dharmartham. Akritihi, by akritihi, he means shariram, his physical body, which is neuter. So that physical body, the physical body, dharma artam, to whose form, whose physical body, whose sharira, is dharma artam, for the sake of dharma, for the purpose of dharma. So when you have a compound ending in artha, artha has a lot of meanings. But often when a compound ends in artha or artam, it means for the sake of. Okay. Yeah. But it has other meanings too. Like it has, artha also means the meaning of something, like the padartha is the meaning of a word. Artha also means wealth.
Right.
Yeah, so security. So if you look up the word artha, there'll be like 20 definitions. It's one of those words. So it's a really important word.
So you just pick one of them, huh?
The one that applies.
Yeah.
So dharmartam akritihi shariram yasya. Yasya means whose. Whose form is for the sake of dharma, saha vrishakritihi. Okay? He is called vrishakritihi. This is something nice. I'll just read this first paragraph and we'll go through this Sanskrit that Swamiji chants, states from the Gita. It says his akriti, form, is for vrisha, for the sake of dharma. When he says for the sake of dharma, that's the artam, not dharmartam. Okay, for the sake of dharma. Hence, he is known as Vrishakritihi. So you see what this says, dharmartham, akritihi, shariram, yasya. Whose sharira, whose form, whose body is for the sake of dharma, saha, he is Vrishakritihi. Saha, Vrishakritihi. So you say he is called, he is known as, or he is Vrishakritihi. The one whose form is for the sake of dharma, he is Vrishakritihi. So Swamiji says, is akriti, form, is for vrisha, for the sake of dharma. Hence he is known as vrishakritihi. That's just the saha, he is vrishakritihi. Then he says, the Lord says in the Gita, dharma samstapanam, samstapana artaya, sambhavami yuge yuge. Here Krishna says, sambhavami, I am born, I take that sun, I take a special birth. Because Krishna's not born like a jiva. There's no jnanam. So it's like, say if you have a lucid dream and there's a lot of trouble going on in your dream and the jivas, the dharmis are all calling on you, then you decide to go in. You know, it's you as the whole upadhi, the whole sameshti upadhi, the whole dream upadhi, decides, I will go. You're being beckoned by the jivas and you go in order to set things right. That's an avatar. Where a jiva is taking birth after birth from beginningless time based upon your karmas. The avatar is not taking a birth based upon prior karma, okay? As the tradition goes. So here it says, yuge, yuge. When you have a repetition in the yuga, 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 in each yuga, in every yuga. When you have a duplication like that, yuga, yuga, in every yuga, he says, sambhavami, I take a birth in my own unique way. I take birth in every yuga, artaya, for the sake of samstapana. Samstapana means protecting or establishing. Establishing what? Dharma. Dharma. Samstapana artaya, for the sake of, that's in the dative singular, for the sake of, for the purpose, artha means like for the purpose, for the sake of, samstapanam, establishing or protecting dharma samstapanam, samstapanaya, Sam Bhavani, Yuge, in every Yuga. I take a birth for this reason. And so when Swamiji explains, he says, because Dharma is held in the Dharmis. If the Dharmis are put at risk so that they are going to be wiped out by the Adharmis, then something he has to come and set the balance straight. That's the tradition.
Do you think, does it have to be recognized that avatar, can it be more than one being coming as an avatar who isn't maybe recognized but is still doing sort of stealthily doing, holding the Dharma together?
It may not be recognized, like even when Krishna came, Duryodhana and those fellows, they did not recognize Krishna as an avatar. Or, in fact, when both Arjuna and Duryodhana went to Krishna's feet, because Krishna was a king, a very powerful king, in order to ask Krishna, get Krishna's blessing for going into the war. The war was against really Duryodhana and the Kaushavas and the Pandavas of Krishna, and Pandavas and Arjuna. So Arjuna and Duryodhana were there standing at Krishna's bedside, and when he woke up, the first person he saw got first choice. Got to say first. And so he saw Arjuna first, and Duryodhana was beside himself. Arjuna got to ask first what he wanted. And so Arjuna said, Krishna, I want you to be my charioteer and be with me during this. That's all.
That's all.
And Duryodhana was thrilled. He was so happy. He was so happy. Then he, because he was second, he got to get exactly what he wanted, which was all powerful, all of these armies, so that he would be much more powerful than Arjuna. So he got that, and then Arjuna got Krishna.
That's all?
Yeah, that's all. So that's a famous story. Now, another way, so you can take that as an avatar, the one whose body is for the sake, takes a body, is the idea, takes a form for the sake of Dharma. Or, if you see the second paragraph, he says, and that's, they didn't give the Sanskrit for this, it's probably, Shankara probably does have that in his commentary. He says, or he is Vrishakritihi because Vrisha, that is Dharma itself, is his akriti, is his form. He alone is in the form of karma, karmapala, which is punya and papa, and also the connection between the karma and its pala. He is also in the form of sadhana and sadhya, means the means and the end. So all of the laws around dharma, and punya and papa, that is all Ishwara's law. So you can say his form is dharma itself. Mm-hmm. Or the previous one, his karma is dharma itself.
You know what? It must be hard to understand what Dharma is because they talk about it so much.
Well, that's true because actually Dharma has a lot of different meanings. Dharma can also just mean equality. Like guna, the word guna means a quality or characteristic. Dharma can also just mean equality. It can also mean this is your Dharma, this is your duty. It can also mean punya papa, So it has some, and it can also mean ritam. Ritam means the laws, the order of the creation.
Yeah.
What supports the creation is dharma. So dharma has a lot of meanings depending upon the context. Okay, good. Let's stop here. That takes us to now the 13th verse. 114.
Oh,
Nama, 13th verse. Mm-hmm. We'll do that next time.
Wow, we make a lot of headway.
Moving on.
Om Swasti Prajabhya Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmanebhya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, kale varshatu parjanyaha, prithivi sasya shalini desho yam sho parahitah brahmana santu nirbhayah om sarve bhavantu sukhinah sarve santu niramayah sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amritam gamaya om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om